I want to bring in to talk about this my my friend, and I think to my eye, the greatest documentarian of all times, the greatest film documentarian of all times, Ken Burns, who you know did a 16 million hour special on baseball. And then did it then redid some of it to include the Red Sox, right? And you know, getting through their getting done with the curse of the Bambino. Ken, I ask you this, as your friend and as a Cubs fan, will you issue another hour for the Chicago Cubs, please?
At least. We've been saying for years and years and years that, you know, we updated our baseball series with the 10th inning in 2010 that permitted us to do steroids and strikes and complicated stuff. But it was just a thinly disguised attempt to celebrate the fact that my
beloved
Boston Red Sox had come back from the greatest deficit in ALCS history or baseball history and beat the hated Yankees and went on in a cakewalk to defeat the St. Louis Cardinals and win the World Series in 2004 and then did it again in 2007 and 2013. But I've always said that if the Cubs win the World Series, there's got to be an 11th inning in there. So, hey, you guys, this is unbelievable what's happening.
I hope you are really. Now, I rooted for your Boston Red Sox because I figured it was the damnedest thing.
I did, too.
Because I wanted them to win because I thought if they win, then their curse could be broken. Our curse could be broken. Then Theo Epstein and basically the core of the management team of the Boston Red Sox came here.
Had they not won, who knows? We might not have gotten him.
Right.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does Theo Epstein go down as the greatest baseball executive of all times?
You know, it's going to be hard to outdo Branch Rickey for having invented the farm system and then, more importantly, bringing the first African-American. But Theo's place in the pantheon of great managers is already assured. And I think, obviously, a World Series victory in Chicago on the north side will seal his you know, place on the Mount Rushmore of those general managers.
Yeah, and that's true. And by the way, for the people who have not seen baseball, if you are a baseball fan, if you've not seen Ken Burns Baseball, go get it, download it, do whatever it is that the kids do these days to watch it.
Stream it.
I mean, like the Civil War, you could watch that on your laptop. I get it, because not a lot of stuff moves in that. There's pushing of pictures, right? Pushing
it's
pans and poles.
It's moving.
Yes, it's right. It's moving. It's not. It doesn't move. But I think baseball is one of those things. I would prefer to watch it on the big TV.
Yeah.
Because you've got so much. Because there's so much old film and video of baseball to watch, and you know, you talk about Branch Rickey. You have a great scene in that of Branch Rickey. I think it's the day that Jackie Robinson is being elevated to the major leagues, and there's like he did like a press availability, right? There was like a little press conference at a desk and everything, and when you see that and you think about how baseball has changed, I mean, you brought that moment of history. That's one of those fulcrum moments. It changed everything.
Yeah, it does. And you know, we have to think about it in the context. When Jackie came up in 47, Martin Luther King was a junior in college. Rosa Parks was still many, many, many years away from refusing to give up her seat in a bus. So Jackie had done it 3 years before at Fort Hood when he was in the Army. Nobody had staged organized lunch counter sit-ins. There wasn't Brown versus Board of Education. It wasn't even an integrated military. So when Jackie came up, this was a significant moment in American history's progress and branches at the part of it.
Yeah. All right. So you're obviously a huge baseball fan.
Huge. And the greatest game ever invented, period, full stop.
Well, funny you should mention that. Uh-huh. You know, they're thinking about Major League Baseball is thinking about making some changes to the rules. And as a purist, do you believe that they should make it? Like put a clock on the pitchers, for example.
You know, they can fuss with it. They can adjust with it. Baseball's a funny thing. It's this sort of, you know, repository of all of our most carefully conserved verities from the past, a super conservative kind of institution, and yet it's also very modern. I mean, if you read the rosters of a Major League Baseball team, it's our immigration conversation right there, and it's always trying to make adjustments, you know, all the way. So, you know, things that, that change it in that regard, I'm sort of blasé about, okay, you know, add lights, you know, okay, designated here in the American League so that the oldest baseball organization doesn't have that, okay. I guess that's okay if that's what you really want. But nothing can take away from the fact this is the greatest game. And people who, I'm a big, huge basketball and particularly football fan, but they don't come close. You know, George Will said, a great Cubs fan, that, you know, football has two of the worst features of American life, which is violence punctuated by frequent committee meetings.
It's true.
I love that.
It is a good...
You know, and this is a game in which baseball is a game, the only game in which the defense has the ball. The only game in which the person scores, not the ball, not the puck, not anything, right? Not the pigskin. It's the person who scores. You play in a park, it's not a gridiron. Now I'm dissolving into George Carlin. But it's just, it's a phenomenal game. And I think the fact that stuff happens in other sports, and it's very important and very exciting. When it happens to baseball, it's the front page, right?
Right.
Whether it's steroids, whether it's scandals, whether it's great things like this. So you have an entire republic who's looking at two extraordinary hard luck baseball teams, right? Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Indians, who haven't won since 1948, and then the Chicago Cubs, who are having, let's put it, a bad century.
Yeah, they had a very bad 20th century.
Yeah, they had a very bad 20th century.
The 21st century hasn't been so much better to them, but
nope.
Until tonight, when for the first time since 1945, Wrigley Field is going, and only for the, I think, third time in history, host the World Series.
Exactly.
Retired Supreme Court Justice, you see that? Paul Stevens is going to be there, and he was at the 1929 game when it was
45 game.
Or didn't he say he's 96? I thought he said he was like a little kid.
32 game, maybe?
One of those, whatever.
No, he might have been at the All-Star game, right, when apparently Cub Park had 500,000 people, as Studs Terkel told me in the baseball team.
That's true.
I don't know how they changed the dimensions of the seat quickly, but apparently there were 500,000 people who were at that All-Star game when Babe Ruth called his shot.
But it's incredible. You know, you're not from here, and, you know, obviously Wrigley Field is the center of the universe this weekend, as this is such a historic moment and such an exciting moment. But do you feel as the outsider enthusiasm for the Cubs as being America's team right now?
Of course, of course. You know, I've had the great good privilege to throw out pitches at various baseball parks. I've done it twice at Wrigley Field. And the first time, my catcher was Ernie Banks. And I remember after that sitting up in the stands and looking up at the clouds, the sort of low cumulus clouds over Chicago. I'm thinking, okay, what could be more perfect than this moment? And then, you know, we're at it right now. Where the entire country is paused. You guys are at, and I know this as a Red Sox fan, you can pretend like it's all okay, but you're dying inside. You're dying inside, as I was. You know, when the Red Sox finally won, I turned to my wife and I said, I don't have to worry again. I thought that was true, but it wasn't true. I worry about lots of stuff still. But there was this moment of release when they actually won. That was one of the greatest feelings I ever had, and I can only wish that on those of you who have had such a long drought.
Yeah, because you think about your relatives, too.
You know,
you think about all the people who've passed that didn't get a chance to see this, and I think that's, especially since it's been 108 years, it's like,
it's long enough.
Yeah, it's long enough. And that's, you know, I got generations of people who, you know, long suffered, and that's a special moment. And I do, you know, it's so funny because I was thinking the exact same thing earlier this weekend, which was like, when they win, okay, now what's left, right?
For me, it's okay, it's great. You go right back to like, let's do it again. I mean, it's a funny sort of high, you know. It's crack cocaine. You win the World Series. That's why the New Yorkers are all crazy, because they win the World Series 27 times. They're just total addicts to that.
Yes.
But there is something that changes. There's a kind of settling. And you're absolutely right. This is very moving. There's been lots of water under the bridge and lots of bodies into the ground since they won. And if if things in Chicago are like things in New England, as I'm sure they are, you know, all of a sudden notes and box scores and newspaper headlines appear on gravestones, and we're suddenly reconnected in a way, and it, particularly these days, where we're so divided and we're so torn on the bias and we're so, you know, crude and vulgar at stuff. It's so great to take this beautiful game and say, I don't care.
I know. Well, that's
so
happening
true.
In Chicago.
We're all together.
So
we're all together. We're all together on this.
It's a nice
for
escape.
The first time in 15 months, Donald Trump has not dominated my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the
right.
first time in 15 months.
Yeah. That, and that's a good thing, right?
The first
Ken?
Thing I, when I wake up in the really morning, the first thing I think about is, oh my God, is he still in this place?
What is he saying now?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, Defying the Nazis, The Sharps War. That's playing on PBS now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a new documentary that in which Ken Burns does look at how demagogues can rise, and potentially dangerous demagogues can rise to power. And it's a pretty powerful look. I think it's worth a little gander. You know, for the modern American right now, and then next year, the long-awaited Vietnam War series from.
I can't wait. I've been working on that all day today, and I'm very excited to share that. And I'll be in town and sit across from you there to talk about it, because it's I'm very excited about that. But I think it's really true. Defying the Nazis is about a Unitarian minister and his wife who, you know, living a comfortable middle-class life in Wellesley, Massachusetts. And, you know, a month later, they're dodging Gestapo agents and laundering money in foreign capitals and saving Jews and other refugees on the eve of the Holocaust. And it really begs the question of not only what would I do in this situation, particularly because we're in a refugee situation now, what kind of generosity, what kind of sacrifice and what would I be willing to pay to make that sacrifice. But you see the potentiality of the lives saved, but you also see how vulnerable we always are to the quick solution, to the easy answer, to the sort of sense that life is kind of some binary thing where you can just switch it off and say, we're terrible now and I'll make it better, or, you know, this is bad and this is good, or I know how to fix it, trust me. When in fact, the nuance of politics that I've spent my entire life studying, the history of the United States, suggests that this guy is the least qualified person in the history of the Republic, and that is terrifying, particularly in our complicated times.
Ken Burns, you can look for Defying the Nazis, The Sharps War, on PBS now. And as I said, next year it's Vietnam, but also next year, the 11th inning, starring the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series in 2016, breaking a 108-year curse. Is that okay?
It's
is that
great.
Okay, Ken? Can I already?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can finish it by next year because we like to take time on these things and incubate it. But what a great story this would be. What a great, wonderful thing for this to happen. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
So close.
Hey, don't you?
We're all going to be watching. Everybody's, you know, on pins and needles. And it's a great thing for the country to have right now. We need this desperately. Something that brings us together, the ritualized warfare of this beautiful sport, as opposed to the sort of vulgarity of our common politics.
Ken Burns, couldn't have said it better. By the way, I think you should use me in the 11th inning, just crying. Just, you know, you get every few minutes, you just come back to me weeping, and then you move on to the next soundbite.
It's quite the sight.
I think it works
out.
You
might want to consider it.
Yeah.
Done.
Thank you,
done.
Ken. Appreciate
right.
it.
Thanks.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Good luck, you guys.
All right, there he goes, the great Ken Burns. Right now, I got a bat. Speaking of baseball, how about this? I got the bat commemorating the Chicago Cubs making it to the World Series from BigTimeBats.com. Officially licensed, team signatures, World Series logo on it. It's a facsimile signature, by the way. BigTimeBats.com. You get to see their entire collection. You want, this is a perfect thing for the Cubs fan in your life or yourself. 312-981-7200, 19th caller. 312-981-7200. Violetta Powder Medic, WGN, Traffic Trouble Spots.